Neighbors are people who are close to us, and friends are people who are close to our hearts. I like to think of you as my neighbor and my friend.
Mm-hmm. Truer words have never been spoken, right? Thank you, Fred Rogers, for essentially teaching us everything we need to know about being good neighbors as children. Right? Fred Rogers' philosophy of life, his theology of life, if you will, is simply to love. In his documentary, he says near the beginning that everything that we know, everything that we learn, comes from love. Every child learns because they first learn to love. Right? As children, we were better at neighboring than we are as adults. Truth? Right? We were less inhibited than we are now as adults. We weren't concerned about what other people thought about us because as children, we hadn't developed prejudices that made us think things about them. We simply saw people, as children. The art of neighboring is as simple as caring enough about the people who live around us to know who they are and to care. Simple. Jesus taught that the most important commandments were these two: to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. I mean, he directly answered the question, which is the most important of the commandments, with that quote: to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And closed the conversation. Fred Rogers based an entire TV program, his entire life, on the notion of love, one human being to another. Fred Rogers is also quoted as saying, "Love isn't a state of perfect caring. It is an active noun-like struggle. To love someone is to strive to accept that person exactly the way he or she is right here and right now." This might seem too simple, too pure, but it is exactly how Jesus lived, and in turn, exactly how we as followers of Christ are asked to live. We are asked to love our neighbors as ourselves. You might be thinking, I don't think Jesus ever met my neighbor. Right. But I guarantee you that Jesus knows your neighbor. God knows your neighbor and asks, God loves your neighbor and asks you to do the same, no matter who they are or what they've done or how they live or how many junk cars they keep in the front yard, or doesn't matter. It is impossible for us to love our neighbors if we don't know who they are. Right? I mean, we don't neighbor like we once did. There was a phase, I think we're returning a bit to architecture with front porches on housing designs, but there was a season when homes were built with almost no front porch. Think about how big your front porch is. If you live in an older home, perhaps it's a little bigger. The parsonage happens to have a big front porch on the front of the house. We have a bench out there in front of the kitchen window, but we almost never sit on it. We just don't neighbor like we... I remember as a little kid, we used to sit on my grandparents' front porch in the afternoon on a Friday afternoon and watch as people walked by, and they would wave and say hi to everyone. Not just the people that they knew intimately, but to everyone. And they knew their names. Hi, Ruth. Hi, Fred. How was your day? This is not something that is as common in today's culture as it was then. We don't neighbor like we once did. We would have trouble living out some of what Mr. Rogers is teaching in today's culture. We'd have to make some changes, and that's what this series is going to ask us to do. In this passage that we're considering this in from the Gospel of Luke this morning, Jesus answers the question, who is my neighbor? As Jesus does so often in his teaching, he launches into this parable. This time, the parable is of the Good Samaritan. We know the story. A man is robbed and beaten and stripped even of his clothes and left for dead on the side of the road. The first person to encounter the distressed traveler is a temple priest. He notices the guy laying there by the side of the road and chooses to cross over to the other side, not wanting to get involved. The second person to notice the poor man is a temple assistant. Again, the priestly order, someone who represents the Pharisees or the Sadducees, probably men who claimed strict adherence to the written Jewish law. These are men that Jesus called out often for their failure to live by the laws of grace and mercy, but rather live strictly by the written law, often at the cost of grace and mercy. It is likely that this young expert in the law is, as Dave described, a lawyer, or someone within those legal circles. And he lives according to the law at all costs. Of course, I've done these things, Jesus. The third passerby is a despised Samaritan, someone who is the other, whoever that is. Someone the Jewish elite would have regarded poorly. The Samaritan stops and cares for every need of this mistreated traveler. He binds up his wounds. He takes him to an inn where he stays with him for the night, caring for every need. And when he leaves the next day, he pays for the room with enough. He hopes to keep the man there as he heals and tells the innkeeper that he'll stop through on his way back and settle the rest of the bill. Then Jesus turns the question on the expert of the law. Now, which one of these three would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits? Jesus asked. And he says, well, the one who showed him mercy. The man answered. Then Jesus said, yes, now you go and do the same. Do you hear Jesus telling you to go and do the same? This parable casts a wide definition of neighbor. Jesus literally says that everyone is this man's neighbor. This is a fair interpretation of this story. Jesus is basically telling this listener that we are expected to demonstrate God's mercy as often as it is required of us. No one, not even the despised Samaritan, is outside consideration when they are in need. When we think of the enormity of Jesus' ask here, we can get overwhelmed. If literally everyone is my neighbor, I am expected to meet every need. There's no way I can do that. So I am forced to draw some lines, to form some boundaries. While it is possible for us to care about everyone, it is not possible for us individually to meet and to give the kind of care that the Good Samaritan gave to everyone that we see. This sermon series was inspired by a request of the mayor of Denver. He gave to a group of pastors when a group of city officials were called together and asked, what could the churches do to best serve the community? A meeting not unlike the one we had Friday with with municipal and government nonprofits and folks in the same room with religious nonprofits, with churches. The mayor simply said, if you really want to help the people of Denver, teach them how to be neighbors again. Teach them how to care for one another again the way we once did. For the purpose of this series on neighboring, we're going to ask you to do the same. We know that we are already caring for our neighbors in a biblical sense. This morning, we're asking you to put some change in the giving well back there so that we can send it to Grace Children's Hospital in Haiti. There's an envelope in your bulletin this morning with the opportunity for you to make a contribution to Native American Ministries. Those are neighboring gestures. Many of you have been to Haiti or Guatemala or Louisiana on mission trips demonstrating love and compassion for neighbors globally. But in this series, we're focusing on our physical neighbors, the households that live nearest to our own. In your bulletin this morning, well, actually in my hand and available for you on the way out this morning, on your bulletin, though, there's a diagram. Look at the sermon series section of the bulletin, right? It's got a gold-colored background, that color background, and it looks just like that, right? Right? In there is that block that looks like the Brady Bunch diagram, right? The people show up in the Brady Bunch thing, right? On your way out, you'll be able to pick up this intended insert, and that will help you understand better. But we're asking you, it's a block map is what this is called. And what it asks of us, we're asking you to get to know, if you don't already, and to intentionally pray for the people who live in the 8 households nearest your own. Right? Who are they? The premise of this is simple. Jesus knows that the best way to build care and compassion into communities is to build relationship between the people who live in them. It is natural for us to care about people. God has built that into us. We have been given a sense of compassion as a part of God's design for human beings. The natural response for both the priest and the temple assistant would have been to help the stranger. They had to intentionally cross to the other side to avoid contact with him because if they had made contact, if they had seen his face, notice the extent of his injuries. Taken a moment to consider themselves in that place, they would no way have been able to ignore him. Because they're human. Because we're human. I think they crossed to the other side not because they were hard-hearted, but for exactly the opposite reason. They knew that they were too soft-hearted to leave the man there if they knew him at all. They understood themselves very well and knew the kind of discipline it would take to resist helping if they got too close. They regarded the law more highly than they regarded their compassion for the other. And they knew in order to live within the law, to not touch the unclean, to not come in contact with someone who they shouldn't, that they had to keep a distance. That's what I think was happening in that story. Fast forward a few thousand years. Our world is messy. People's lives are messy. Our neighbors struggle with all kinds of things. Some of them personal and difficult. Some of our neighbors are divorced. Some of our neighbors have family members who are gay. Some of them have been in jail. Others of them sometimes drink too much or use recreational drugs. Some of them have lost children to illness or worse, to suicide. Life is messy. and some of their neighbors, ourselves included, have had some of the same experiences. We don't know them. If we don't know these things about them, we don't have to experience the pain that they're experiencing with them. If we insulate ourselves from their circumstances, we only have to deal with our pain. The flip side of that is, we probably don't share the messiness in our lives either. So when dealing with our pain, we get to do it alone. The problem is that Jesus says we are to love our neighbors as ourselves, which requires us to know them. We cannot love those we do not know. Think about it for a moment. Knowing our neighbor allows us to celebrate with them as well. My next door neighbors just celebrated a wedding anniversary, I think 45 years. Remarkable. We get to celebrate. The neighbors across the street had a baby last year. His name is Orion. He's beautiful. Stan, who lives on the corner, lost his wife just before we moved into the neighborhood and is struggling with cancer himself. We first moved in almost 6 years ago. It was thought that he didn't have long on this earth. But the treatment he's receiving has put his cancer into remission. He still drives his truck to breakfast every day. He's doing much better, and we get to celebrate. As I thought about this challenge this week, I discovered that I could name 7 of the 8 closest neighbors to which I live, and I've lived here less than 6 years. The 8th one moved in this winter, and I haven't been down the street to introduce myself yet. During this first week, that is exactly what I'm going to do. I'm knocking on their door. I'm going to find out what their names are, how many people live in their household. I'm not going to pry. I'm just going to be friendly. I'm not going to stalk them. I'm just going to offer them something neighborly. Me. Aren't you lucky you don't live in my neighborhood? The point is to build relationships with people around us so as to move from strangers to acquaintances and acquaintances into relationship with people so that we can share their struggles and share their celebrations. We aren't asking you to become best friends, play cards on the weekends. We're asking you to get to know the people around you well enough that you can love them. That's all. Acts 17, 26 and 27 says this, "From one ancestor he made all the nations to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live, so they would search for God and perhaps grope for him and find him, though indeed he is not far from each one of us." Another translation, the one I intended to put in here, says that he puts them exactly where they should live. It is not an accident that you live where you live. You live where you live, and Jesus expects that because you live there, you will love your neighbors on all sides of you. As an ambassador for Jesus Christ, you will represent Jesus Christ in your neighborhood, not just in the safety of this sanctuary. When you expect that love to be received graciously and with kindness, it might be awkward to shake the hands of your neighbors, but you know what? No more awkward than finding out there was some sort of tragedy that you didn't respond to at all because you didn't know. They didn't think you cared. God intends us to be neighbors and to be neighborly. He knows that we are built to live with one another, and Jesus tells us that we are to love people with whom we share community. We don't live where we live by accident, but in order that we would love those whom God has placed in our midst or in whose midst God has placed us. You choose. Won't you be my neighbor? Will you at least learn who your neighbors are and pray for them as if God knows what they need? Will you seek to do what Jesus says is one of the two most important things we are commanded to do? It might be uncomfortable on the front. Odds are there's blessing in it for you. Find out who your neighbor is. Shake their hand. Tell them that you care about them. See what happens. That's the challenge. This week, we'd like you to write down the names of the 8 households that live in the closest proximity to yours and to pray for them. If you don't know them, maybe reach out to them. Maybe not. Go slow. Pray first. See what God asks of you, what the product of that prayer might be. Won't you be their neighbor?